Hi, I'm Alex Fracon. You're listening to My Therapist and I, a podcast that isn't just about therapy, it is therapy. More specifically, my therapy.
Well, hello there.
I'm back. It's been a minute, but I'm back. Dr. Steve's back, and I'm here because on this episode, I'm about to get married. I have a lot on my mind. There's a lot going on with friendships and maybe non-friendships. It's hard to make sense of everything, and so I enlist Dr. Steve's help. Hope you enjoy.
I hit the button.
You did? We're recording already? I don't even have my headset on yet. It's like a co-pilot.
I mean, hey, yeah, I don't know that I'm going to use this, but...
All right. Talk to me, Goose.
Yeah. What's up? How are you?
I'm here. It's good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
It's been a while.
I missed you, too.
Yeah.
I talked about you still seeing my EMDR lady.
Uh-huh.
And she, for whatever reason, got really interested in the podcast last session. And she was asking me about it at length.
She wants my job.
She's
gunning for me.
I think that, or maybe she was starting to wonder about the implications of the podcast. You know,
or like, she's going to report me for ethical violations.
Yeah, I was like, is she going to get talked about on it? And, but yeah.
Well, has she listened?
I don't know. I haven't asked her. I doubt it. I'd be surprised if she had.
Yeah.
But she was interested in it. And I talked about it with Haley.
Yeah. You talked about the podcast with Haley?
Yeah, like the break we were on. You know,
of course.
Missing Dr. Steve. She's like, oh, do you miss Dr. Steve? It's like, no.
You're crying. It's not me. I'm not crying. Yeah. You're crying.
But yeah, it has been probably 5 weeks, more than that.
I was going to say 2 months, but I don't know. Wow. I mean,
wow. When I bought the home, so it would have been July. Maybe I had just bought the home. I don't know.
It's better than buying the farm.
See,
I guess you don't miss me that much.
Right, Murray? It's like you never left. But yeah, I bought the house. We bought the house. We moved.
Yeah.
And I'm getting married on Saturday.
This Saturday?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which kind of, if I'm being fully honest, it's why I think it was like a week whenever I texted you.
Yeah.
I was talking to Haley and she's like, are you going to see Dr.? I was like, yeah, I need to see Dr. Steve.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on and there's a lot to discuss there, but I appreciate you sent me that text when you, it was like 3 or 4 weeks after I released the episode is when you finally listened to it, which I thought that was funny.
It may be the only episode I've listened to the whole way.
Really?
Yeah.
And is that because you knew you weren't on it, so you were probably a little intrigued?
There's probably some of that, yeah. But it was during our break, and I'm like, oh, he's still recording things. And it was funny because a guy I go to church with said, listen to this podcast. The guy talks about you a lot. And I'm like, oh yeah, well, we're on together. And he's like, nope, that's not what I heard. And I'm like, well, what are you listening to? So he had only heard of it and tuned into like the most recent.
The last one
or maybe the last two episodes. I guess.
I only did one.
Yeah. Okay. And he said,
but it was this podcast that he was talking
about. It was this one. And he said, yeah, you're not on it at all, but you're talked about a lot. And I'm like, that doesn't sound.
Got it. So it piqued your curiosity.
Yeah, I was interested.
That's interesting. How did he find out about it?
I don't know.
I don't know how I feel about the Mormon Church being on to me.
Well, I don't know either. They'll send representatives to your door or something like that.
You better not. You have my address.
I do.
You're the only one who has it, so I'll know. I'll know exactly where they got it.
Now with your Alexa, you know, listening, the algorithm will send you people. So,
But I appreciated your text and. It was very heartfelt, and I don't know, it's just nice to, you seemed encouraging and stuff. And
I want to read the text.
Yeah.
I have to find my Alex.
Oh, there's more of us?
No.
There's only one Alex. I got a lot of Dr. Steve's in my phone, so. You're Dr. Steve 3.
Okay, can I read it?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't have my glasses. Okay. Dude, I'm listening to the last episode. I'm honestly feeling a lot of things. So proud of you, feeling happy that you're feeling more comfortable in your skin, so happy that I know you, and generally feeling good things about our work together. Maybe even feelings of love for you, my friend. Thanks for sharing your life with me and the public.
And then?
And then I said, ha ha, Haley replaced me. She came into my chair.
Yep.
It was always the plan from the beginning. Ha ha.
Yeah. And that was on August 28th. At 10:17 p.m., which is late. I was asleep when you sent that.
Yeah.
But I got
well,
it.
I was listening.
It was great.
Wanted something to lull me to sleep.
It was very heartfelt. And I was weird because I was like, this is weird. This is very warm and tender. It's unlike Dr. Steve. I wonder what's going on.
Well, I had to change the image of what you said in the last episode. Yeah. He's old school. Yeah. He's callous and uncaring, unfeeling. And then you're like, maybe not unfeeling, but I don't know.
I like that I say that, and I like that you are like, no, I'm not. I like that.
Yeah, like, suck it. I'm going to text you some feelies.
Yeah. But also, as I mentioned in the last episode, I have come to appreciate even the things that frustrate me about you. I come to appreciate later, and I begrudgingly am like, okay, maybe he had a point there, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the benefit of, like, this was something I talked about with my EMDR lady. The multiple perspectives.
Yeah.
Not being used to having a Dr. Steve perspective takes me out of my comfort zone, but that's ultimately good for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have benefited from it. And the whole, you know.
Yeah, cool.
I don't even remember where I left off, but talking about acceptance and all that good stuff. But yeah, thank you for sending that. And I do also feel good about our work together. And I had a friend who texted me and he was like, I miss hearing the podcast. I miss hearing about your problems, Alex.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah.
The public needs you to be broken, defeated.
But I think as I gear up for getting married on Saturday, I was like, this is a perfect opportunity to talk about everything that's been running on my mind. Check in with Dr. Steve. Kill two birds with one stone.
Mm-hmm.
Also, ironically enough, when I texted you, I was feeling pretty down.
Mm.
And now I feel not so down.
Yeah.
And it sort of reinforced what you've maybe either openly preached or like subconsciously, which is like things are okay and things are normal and it's okay to be stressed at like... You know, time passes, that doesn't mean there's something wrong. It just means that something's happening.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, I continue to grow there. But there's a couple things on my list. So, before we get into me, is there anything else that you? How was the break for you?
It felt like it. We needed to have a break and. I mean, to me, the most impactful thing that I heard was you saying, I'm coming off of a week where I've gone to 4 therapy sessions. And like, to me, it's like, damn, that's a lot of therapy sessions. And I mean, I think always, maybe always, it's too strong of a word, but for a lot of our work, I've wanted you to feel like you are like a human being that has, you know, challenges and anxieties and things like that, but you're not broken. You're not abnormal. You're not.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's part of the human condition. That's how we know we're human beings. And so that was the part that to me made my heart very happy for you is that there was maybe a place in your understanding that maybe I'm not so broken or defective. Maybe I'm not, you know, and you still have stuff, I'm sure that challenges, struggles and things like that. And you've got your, you know, things that went on in your childhood that you're not too happy about that maybe you're going to talk to your folks about at some point. Maybe you're not, I don't know, but
yeah,
I think
that's all normal part of the, well, not normal, but part of,
well, I think it's part of being human.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was just, I don't know. There's a part of me that wants to take that off of you, that burden of feeling like, holy crap, everybody's looking at me. I'm I'm so encumbered with dysfunction and anxiety and I want for you to be unencumbered.
It has definitely been interesting to, I don't know if it's the message soaking in or what. I'm inclined to describe it as just like caring less about it. You know, that voice that's like, oh, this is wrong, this is bad. It's been cool to sort of slowly let it go. And
the other thing I the other thing I thought about with regard to our work together, this felt like a lot of the work that I do with people is, you know, you see them for a while and then there's a break. And the break comes at a time when you're like, I don't think I need to keep talking. I think I've got something here and I think I'm okay. And, you know, a month and a half, 2 months goes by and it's like, maybe I need to get back in. I want to run some things by him. And to me, this is how I do therapy.
Yeah. And I think I have transitioned a little bit in my therapy journey to being less of I need to validate everything I'm thinking and feeling frequently, to I am reserving therapy for very specific, like, okay, there's some things in my childhood that I want to work through.
Yeah.
Otherwise, my day-to-day, I'm in a good spot and it's okay if I get angry or I get stressed, you know, that doesn't mean that something's wrong. So I've kind of like, so for example, I haven't seen George in, gosh, I want to say 5 weeks, which is the longest I've ever gone.
Yeah.
I'm still doing EMDR probably once a week or once every other week.
Yeah.
Which, again, that in and of itself was pretty wild for me, because there was a point in time where if I missed a therapy session with George, I'd get really anxious because it'd be like, there's all this stuff I have to talk about. I have to get it out. Now I feel like I can sit with it, be uncomfortable for a day or two, maybe journal about it, and then I feel better. And the world, it's kind of like the sun, you know, the sun rises again.
Yeah.
And that's not to say I'm like repressing anything or... But yeah, I have culled back from 4 times a week. And I had a breakfast with a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago and we talked about this very thing. This, like, I guess the concept of like therapy fatigue or something. And he was like, surprisingly sort of in my camp of like, well, he's like, I see 3 therapists a week. I go 3 times a week. I was like, whoa, is that a lot? He's like, yeah, but it's a good amount for me right now. And it's what I need. And I thought that was interesting. And we talked about this notion of like therapeutic moments.
Yeah.
And how our breakfast, you know, I mentioned you and I was like, Dr. Steve would probably call this therapy right now because it's two dudes talking about their journey.
Real stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good breakfast to have. It was fun. But it's a new, yeah, I think I look at therapy differently now. The work I'm doing in EMDR is tough. It's challenging. I don't like it sometimes just because it's revisiting stuff that I just don't talk about ever.
Yeah.
And that's challenging. But I also am pretty intentional. Like, I understand it's a choice I've made to do it. And there are benefits from it, I think, in my mind. It's helping a lot. And I'm just, maybe it's, I also wonder too if like, all of this is just the natural process of becoming older. And it's just like once you hit a certain age, obviously this is not true for everyone. But I think to myself, how ironic would it be if it was like, all you have to do, Alex, is get to a certain age and everything will just sort of make sense.
Or you care less about it.
Or, you know, like maybe that's sort of the way it is. And it's getting to that point is a little stressful because you're analyzing and analyzing and analyzing. And it's like, oh yeah, okay, you know. I've experienced this for so many years, like clearly it's not going to kill me. Like I'm okay with it.
I bet there's some truth to that. Yeah.
It's like all the work I put in, it's like it was all for nothing. But
yeah, but maybe if you hadn't done that work, you wouldn't be getting to this now. You'd have to get even older or whatever to get there.
So on my to-do list, I'm getting married. It hasn't been that stressful, honestly, which is great. But do you... The reason I'd reached out for you is because there were two sort of moments that intersected that were getting me down. And one was, Do you remember, oh gosh, it would have been like the last time we talked or a time before that I had mentioned, like I had a very good friend in college who, but like my best friend in college who I wasn't sure if he was going to come to my wedding. And you had kind of encouraged me like, you know, maybe lay that out to him and say, hey, like, this is a really important moment. I really hope you can be there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you recall that or not, but he had RSVP'd, yes, because I was like, hey, are you going to come? He's like, yeah, I'll RSVP now. And then like the weeks dragged on, I kept checking in and be like, hey, man, you get your flight yet? He's like, no, I'll get it later. Get it later. And I was like, oh, gosh, here we go. Mm-hmm. And then out of the blue, I checked in again like, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago. And he was like, hey, man, listen, work's getting really crazy. And I was like, oh, man. Okay. And so I sort of took your approach and I was just like, listen, dude, I am going to be honest. The reason I've been sort of checking in with you all the time and like being really pushy about you getting your ticket is I'm secretly afraid you're not going to come to my wedding. And like, it would be so mind blowing for you not to be there for me just because like we've been so close. And granted, I know we're not as close anymore. And quite frankly, like I genuinely miss that, but this is a once in a lifetime thing for me. And I just would love for you to be there. I'd love for you to meet Haley. If you can make it work, it would mean the world to me. And I think what was so crazy to me, or like what struck me, was he responded.
Yeah.
But he didn't address any of that. He just said, yeah, man, it's work is so busy. Mm. And I was like, that's really interesting. I mean, whoop, I fell back in my chair. I was like, you know, nothing about the closeness, nothing about the, I know this is like, I know this is a big deal. I feel super bad. I can't be there with you. Mm-hmm. It was just work.
So he doubled down on work.
He doubled down on work. Yeah. And he texted me. He was like, I'll let you know. And I was like,
that means no.
You've already let me know.
Yeah.
And then he checked in again. He's like, hey, man, yeah, I'm definitely not going to be able to. He didn't even say he wasn't going to be able to make it. He just said, hey, work is not going to let up. Definitely wish I could have gotten away from work. And that was it.
He couldn't even bring himself to say it. And he texted, didn't call?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was, when I got that text, I was just like, I was really bummed. And I was bummed for a variety of reasons, but he was, and I guess is, or I don't know. Any, you know, I was like, I was trying to explain it to Haley because she was like, I don't get it. Why are you so upset? Like, clearly, he's not as close as you guys thought.
He's not into you.
Yeah, yeah. And she was kind of quite angry because she was like, I don't know, you know,
yeah, why screw are you him. Wasting energy on the right?
And it was hard for me to reconcile being so close to someone, you know. Granted, it was a long time ago, but he and I were very close in college.
Yeah.
Like attached at the hip. It was like a running joke on campus that like we had this bromance and, you know, we did everything together and would always joke about being each other's best man at the wedding and stuff like that. And it was just weird to go from that to like, not even, we don't talk as much, but like, hey, I'm not coming to your wedding. You know, like that was such a long distance to travel. And there was just some sort of, I did some Googling and it's like a lot of people write about this. You know, like, oddly enough, on websites like Reddit, or have you ever heard of Quora?
No.
It's basically like a form where you can ask a question and strangers give you an answer.
Mm.
A lot of those threads of like...
You found other therapy outlets.
Honestly, just more of like, okay, this clearly happens to a lot of people. Obviously, grand scheme of things, not the end of the world, but it's just, it was just tough to be like, okay, this is clearly the door closing.
Yeah.
But I have to infer that. There's no like, hey, man, I'm not that into you. Sorry. It's like, oh, I'm making excuse, but we're cool, right? Kind of like, yeah, it's just super confusing and sad. And I was really, really, I was like, no, he'll be there. He'll for sure be there. Like he wouldn't, I mean, he knows this is a big deal. It's a wedding.
Yeah, you've been really clear with him too, sounds like.
But he made it clear. And I was like, damn, like, was I never that close to him? Was he always kind of looking at me like a burden? I don't know. It sucked.
Yeah.
And then like unrelated or related, I got a text probably like a week prior that an old coworker of mine passed away. Mm. And yeah, it was kind of implied, you know, like how awkward these things can be, but that he took his own life. Mm. It wasn't explicitly committed suicide. And that was a real trip. And I keep finding myself being like, wow, it's weird that like I'm trying to find parallels between these two instances because they're both supremely different. But I kept looking at the sort of end of my friendship as sort of like a mourning, a similar kind of mourning, like a death sort of, so to speak. The coworker and I, we were like, we weren't very close. We talked, you know, we hung out a few times, but it was really, particularly sticky because he kind of like really hated me sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like he would waver. He would have these huge swings from being like, yo, let's hang out. Like, dude, like let's go party. Like wanting to be really close. And then, you know, me being like, hey man, like I can't, like, you know, maybe some other time. And he'd be like, oh, like, fuck you, you pussy. Like, you don't, blah, blah, blah. Mm. Like, just these violent swings. Mm. I remember at one point I had to block his number because he would text me, basically insulting me after, like, you know, I'd release a music video and he'd write about all the reasons why it sucked. Just, like, completely unprompted. Mm. And just to, like, it was hard to unpack all of those memories and feelings because obviously I feel terrible. You know, he's gone.
Yeah.
He passed away. I feel for his family. But there's something, it's hard for me to articulate, but there's something between like wanting to be a good person and be respectful and of this acquaintance I had who passed away, but also dealing with these feelings of like, I really didn't. Is Haley walking around? Can you hear those creaks?
Yeah.
I really didn't appreciate the way that he treated other people.
Yeah.
And I did my best to be clear on that. And
with him? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. And like other people who sort of were like close to his mentors, so to speak. Like we were all sort of, we commingled. And they sort of was like, oh, you know, he's just being, he sort of was the alpha male kind of archetype of like, okay. And I feel uncomfortable. Maybe it's not my place to be talking about this on a podcast. So I'll back up a little bit. I just felt uncomfortable with the way that he behaved. And I wasn't a fan of it. And I find myself grappling with that now that I know, you know, he took his own life and obviously feeling terrible about it. And also being like sort of angry and it was complicated. And then that coinciding with my best friend being like, hey man, I'm not coming to your wedding. It just was like a weird, I was probably for about like 2 or 3 days. I found myself in a state of consistent, like melancholy of like, just feeling, I went down this deep rabbit hole of like researching, like just stuff related to death.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like it was all sort of connected somehow. And it just was, it was kind of like a gully of a place for like 2-3 days. And that's when I reached out to you.
Yeah, so I have all kinds of thoughts.
Fire away.
The first one is both of these incidents, both of these things that you just shared with me. To me, one of the common threads is unfinished business, right? It's both of them are situations that are unfinished. If someone takes their own life, it's like, I never got a chance to, you know, we never got a chance to make good or to make amends or whatever, or to even connect, whatever it was. And there was a turbulent relationship there. And with the guy who's just too busy to get to the wedding, also unfinished, right? Currently unfinished. Because that's still hanging out there.
Mm-hmm.
You bare your soul to him and open up and doesn't respond in a, you bet, dude, I'll be there, anything for you. And we go back, you know, we go way back. And so, I mean, obviously that's the reaction you want. You want him to say, I would not miss your wedding for the world. And yeah. Even though we haven't seen each other for X number of years, you know, I'm going to be there.
I got
my ticket already, and it's stupid that you're even following up with me, because I'm going to be there, right?
Yep.
And he didn't do that. So it makes you wonder, well, was it one-sided? Did I think I was closer to him than we really were? I mean, did he not like me? Did he, you know, like, it brings up all these questions. And you've done your, you know, I talk to people about cleaning their side of the street. You cleaned your side of the street. Hey, I'm getting this vibe. I'm something's going on. I want to address it. It's really important that you're, you know, and...
Nothing.
And he's not at a place where that's lands on him in a way that he can hear it or deal with it, or he's not at a, maybe it's a level of maturity, maybe he's not old enough yet. You know, I don't know what it is, but for whatever reason, your bearing your soul landed on him in a way that impacted him. He recoiled, or he moved back. He couldn't say, look, Alex.
I know.
I've never felt that close to you. Yeah, or you know what, dude, we were college buddies. Yeah. That's where it ended,
yep.
Right? I ended you when I stopped drinking and yep. chasing women, and you know, yep. when I got married and I had my own life or whatever it is. I don't know what the story is, but he didn't say that to you.
No.
So maybe he has his own growth to do. I don't know. And maybe he still comes around. Like, maybe this is what I think happens when someone bears their soul to another human being, and it's, and the other human being's not ready to reciprocate, or and they're not obligated to reciprocate, right?
Yeah.
But I think sometimes that works on them, and maybe you get a call, maybe you get a letter, maybe you get a text, like, I left you hanging, and I was being a real dick, and I need to, you know, I need to apologize, I need to make amends. I mean, I think that's still might happen at some point.
Yes. And I mentioned Haley's response. She was like, she went anger, right? That was her.
Right.
And I remember telling her, like, hey, listen, I wrote her an email because I was like, it's important to me that you understand I'm more focused on just like the hurt or just the feelings, right? I'm not necessarily angry. Maybe anger will come later, but now I'm just bummed. And I would appreciate it if you don't like get angry on my behalf.
She's protecting you.
Yeah, I know.
She's protective of you.
But I explained it as like, it's hard for me when I'm mourning for someone to be like, well, this don't like... I'm angry. Like, why are you even wasting your time? It's like, let me process this.
Yeah,
like,
makes sense.
So, and we talked, and she was super receptive and cool. What was so like tough, you know, quote unquote tough, was like the amount I had, and that's what sucks about not having closure, is you have to infer, you hypothesize. I was trying to run through, okay, what are the most like, what's going through his head? Most likely
scenarios to explain this to me so I can get my head around and make sense.
Because nothing made sense, but I was reminded, oddly enough, probably 2-3 years out of college. So we're still quite close. You know, I was a hip hop artist and I was doing shows, and he was pretty instrumental, honestly, in me doing that. He was a really talented, he got me into rapping, honestly. We met in college. He was my roommate. I would make beats. He would freestyle. He convinced me to start writing. And so he would help me write stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I booked a show in New York City and I was super excited because he lived there. And I was like, dude, I'm going to do a show in your city at this cool venue. Like, you're going to be there, right? And I was thinking back to that instance and it was the same thing. I was like, hey, did you buy your ticket? No, man, I will. Like, chill out. I'll get it.
Mm.
I'll get it. I'm busy with work. And then I remember I showed up and he still hadn't got his ticket. And he was like, where's the venue again? Like, texting me night of, like, what time's it at? And he showed up late and he forgot his ID and he couldn't get in. And I remember just laying into him. I was like, dude, like, I haven't seen you in 2 years. I book a show in your city. You've never seen me rap. Like, this is a big deal. You know, and we were close enough then where I like laid into him.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, and he got really defensive and we just argued it out, which was a weird, awesome part of our relationship. We would just fight like crazy and then it'd be cool. This time we talked it out and we just sort of hung out the rest of the weekend. And then like 3 or 4 months later, I got a text from him and it was like, hey dude, listen, I was thinking about it and I was in a tough spot and I left you hanging and that's my bad. So I'm like,
So yeah, chapters still being written, right? Pages still being written.
But that was a long time ago, and we'd only seen, you know, I flew out to LA. I saw him probably 3-4 months ago, and that's the only time I've seen him in the last 10 years. But yeah, so to your point, it's possible. But a part of me is like, there's only so many, you know, there's only so much time left. You know, like if it's going to take 2 years, it's like, well, there might be no incentive for it. Maybe he's like, I rarely talk to the guy anyway. What's the point?
No, maybe. Maybe. So other thoughts?
Other thoughts.
This also, to me, can be put under that mastery headline or that mastery category, right? So yeah. Like death and dying, like when people talk about the grieving process, you know, there are these steps of grieving, you know, there's anger and bargaining, yep. And, you know,
denial
and all that stuff. Both of these unfinished businesses also could, I mean, one of them for sure, the guy with the suicide, the death, it represents a loss. The other one is a potential loss. It's got to be, you know, at least raising some flags or like, hey, I might be losing this guy. You know, he did this thing in New York years ago and I don't see him that often and we're not, you know, anyway. So it could be another part of, you know, is this something you're trying to master? Am I trying to master the grief of not knowing how this guy passed away and what state our relationship was in when that happened? And then the other, you know, the friendship that is teetering somewhat could be a mastery thing. And then the other thing that I keep thinking about, because one is the death of a person you were friends with, the other one is a potential death of a friendship. You and I started talking because of a story about death. You know, as a six-year-old, 10-year-old?
Yeah, 10-year-old.
10-year-old. The TV. And then what if that's all there is?
Yeah,
lost. And so, so to me, it's not, you know, like, I'll give an analogy. Years ago, there was a women's U.S. Track and field woman. I think it was either Devers or Jackie Joyner Kersee. I mean, it was back in the day, quite a while ago. One of them they were going around this thing and they got caught up in their own legs at a certain part in the course and had a horrible wipeout. They were doing really great in the race. I can't remember the particulars of what race it was, but it was a speed event and she blew the race because she just got tripped up in her pace and stuff like that. I was watching a race that happened like a year after she had rehabbed and stuff like that. And she was back either at the same track or something like that. And she's going around and you could see her legs at the exact same part of the track where she had the accident a year before, 6 months before, whatever it was. Her legs, her gait changed a little bit.
No way.
And she pulled it out and nothing happens. But it's almost like this
memory.
You know, the muscle memory or a time and a season and places and smells and, you know, colors and, you know, feelings that you get when you come back around a turn in life. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, this is reminding me of that 10-year-old moment where I'm like, what if this is all there is? And so you get these triggers. I mean, this is where we get the term triggers and, you know.
Yeah. I definitely struggle in instances where I can't know. I can't understand it. Being unable to understand something. Yeah, especially as it's related to feelings of like fear or sadness.
Yeah.
I struggle with, but yeah, because in these instances, there's not much else I can do. I mean, I also feel conflicting feelings, right? Because one, you know, my friendship that may be ending, like that is, you know, it was very meaningful to me.
Yeah.
It was a huge part of my life. And this other instance with my former coworker, I mean, I feel confused because it's like we weren't that close. I was checking my phone. The last time he had texted me was 3 years ago. You know, we had a nice, he congratulated me because I won this award.
Yeah.
And we had a fine exchange, but, you know, we weren't that close, but I still have like feelings of anger, you know, and like, a feeling it's uncomfortable to be like, well, I can't have those right now because, you know, be disrespectful, right? You can't, it's just complicated. And to have, yeah. But.
And so what if it was more like, it's hard to have these feelings of anger towards him because I know that he was probably at a very dark place in his last moments, he was at the darkest place he's ever been. And now I'm going to heap on.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a jerk to heap on, you know, like, but that the reality is that's just where you're at. Mm-hmm. And some of the fact that you have this dissociation, this lack of connection with him over the years and turbulent, you know, he showed up too. He was part of that equation.
Yeah.
You know, and he did his thing and sounds like some of the things that he did pushed you away.
Oh yeah.
It gave you a message like, this is somebody I don't want to keep associating with.
And I did my best to make it clear to him and to other people like, hey, like this, I'm not about this. And I was always sort of met with that, like, oh, you're kind of a pussy. I was like, fine, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if being like honest about my thoughts and feelings is not going to be valuable currency here, like I'm cool. Like I'm happy where I'm at. Yeah. And it was just also really fascinating too, because a lot of my former coworkers texted me and called me.
Yeah.
And we have had former coworkers pass suddenly. I think one had like a heart attack or something, and he had a history of drug abuse. So it was kind of related. Mm. It happened really suddenly, but we all sort of talked about how like we kind of saw it coming. But there was we all got together. It was a huge celebration, and probably like 200-300 people, and everyone was posting about it. And this time it was vastly different. And I wonder if it's because so many years have passed, we're not in contact anymore, but
he's got to figure into the equation somewhere.
Yeah. And it just all, the reason I bring this up is because like thinking about it, I felt guilty for thinking about it and like, hey, just leave this alone, show some respect, but also clearly it's been on my mind. I should clarify. I don't know if I brought this up, but when I was 16, one of my friends from high school killed himself.
Mm.
And I think the reason, talking about triggers and stuff, I struggled a lot with that as a kid. Oddly enough, the thing I struggled over was, how am I supposed to feel? What am I allowed to feel? What am I allowed to say? What am I allowed to think? Because I remember as a kid being like, I had to do the math in my head. It was like, okay, well, we hung out 4 times, so that made us friends, but not like best friends. So I couldn't outwardly mourn as much as, you know, this person, because this person was closer to them.
Mm.
I just remember like trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And it was really, really challenging. And I think any time I encounter hearing about someone taking their own life, I immediately go back to that 16-year-old version of myself where it's like, okay, is this, how big of a deal is this? You know, how bad should I feel?
Yeah.
What, so it's very confusing.
What level of expression is commensurate with my level of relationship?
Yep. And.
So, but to me, that's connected to, you know, there's a right way to do it. There's a
mastery.
There's a proper way. There's a mastery. Yeah. It's once again, it comes back to mastery. I don't want to overly mourn. I don't want to under mourn. I want to just hit the sweet spot.
I, you know, whatever feelings I do have, I can't share because, you know, God forbid they're critical. Now is not the time. There's, you know, it's just like there's protocol.
That's cultural too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you die, you immediately become immortalized as an angel, as a saint, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I had a few conversations with people who were trying to put that delicately. And I wonder if other people were sort of struggling with the same thing, which was like, yeah, I wasn't treated all that great sometimes mm-hmm. by this person. It just can be confusing. And obviously, it's super sad.
Yeah.
On that note of like the social, you know, constructs and what's protocol, not to totally pivot, But this was other a tiny little thing. My EMDR lady asked me. She just sort of out of the blue, we were going through a session, and she was like, "Do you ever wonder if you're on the spectrum?" And I was like, I started laughing. I was like, "You mean autism?" She's like, "Yeah." I was like, "I don't know, maybe."
Thanks for that.
Yeah, like, and she's like, "No, I'm just curious because, you know." I was like, "Well, do I like act like that?" And she's like, "Well, it was came back to the eye contact thing." She's like, "You just have some of the signs." And anyway, when she said that, I was like, "Okay, that's interesting." So that's sort of been running in my mind too, like. Is the reason I sort of find some of these constructs or protocols overwhelming is because I don't understand them, or, you know, I don't know. Getting a little into mastery brain here, but net, yeah, therapist asked if I have autism. I don't know what to make of that. Like, I couldn't help but laugh. And I was like, well, yeah, I joked with Haley. I was like, you know, Haley, if I'm on the spectrum, you are on the spectrum.
Taking you with me.
I mean, way over there. I'm like I made a joke that I'm like the whisperer, you know, like I can kind of handle my, you know, I'm sociable, but I've always had an affinity for people who I can tell struggle with social stuff. Cause I'm always like, well, I figured it out. In my head, I have this like hack book of like how to pretend like you're normal. Which I've spent a lot of time working on it.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And like, I want to share it with people. Like, oh, all you got to do is this, 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 and you'll be fine. People will think you're cool. It's really easy. You just got to get the hang of it. But I digress.
Yeah. It's never come to my mind. Never, okay. Never once.
She brought it up. I was like,
Never once.
I definitely feel weird sometimes, or I feel different, or I don't know. But... Maybe that's because you got it too, dude.
It could be. I don't think so though.
Yeah. Also,
you care way too much about what people think.
I do.
I care way too much about what people think. Yeah. I want to be liked. I want to be loved.
That's part of being human.
It's those things tend not to register as strongly or at all in somebody who's on the spectrum.
Yeah. 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 Totally. Well, we'll see if EMDR lady's listening, because if she does is, she'll bring this up.
Yeah. You can always pop open the, you know, the Bible, the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of the APA, the American Psychological Association. You can read about what autism is, yeah, and what the features and characteristics are.
I don't look at people in the eye a lot, which that'd probably be like 1% maybe, whatever.
You can just say I have murderous fantasies and when I look people it's in the eye, I want to act them out.
It's not me that's on the spectrum. It's the voice.
The voices.
In my head. Some of them, plural. I think this is a good place to wrap up.
Yeah. On the spectrum.
On the spectrum. But yeah, and we can talk more about this, but just there's been a lot going on in my brain and
yeah,
those things. And I'm getting married. I think we're going to do the Steve Harvey thing.
Family Feud?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, the Family Feud thing where next episode I'll be married. The episode after this I'll be married. You pick up what I'm putting down here?
Not yet, because usually we shoot two back to back.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We're going to do that again.
Right. But clearly you're not. I'm not going through a time warp space continuum with you, Alex.
Yeah, I know, but other people don't know that.
Might.
Yeah. But yeah, next time we chat, wink, wink, I'll be married.
In real time.
Yeah. Okay, everyone. Where did we... I forget where we net out. Life's messy. Nothing's perfect.
Be good to yourself.
Be kind to yourself. You're doing a great job. Am I allowed to say that?
I wouldn't go that far, Alex. Be kind to yourself.
Be kind to yourself. Talk to you later. Okay, bye.